Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Spiritual Unity Radio Network, a station dedicated to the concept that all manifestations of the divine are equally valid. Join Reverend Terry Power HP, Robin McKean, and all the hosts for programming covering a wide range of spiritual topics right here on Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to Ujvala Radio, a show dedicated to love and passion, and the power they have to transform our lives. Now, find a comfortable place to sit, relax, and enjoy the show. And now, here's Terry and Robin.
Good evening, everybody. Good afternoon. Good morning. Good wherever in the world you are. This is Reverend Terry Power, and you are listening to Ujvala Radio on the Spiritual Unity Radio Network. And I am joined tonight, as every good night in my life, by my amazing, talented, warm, caring, loving. Did I say talented? I think I said talented. I'm not sure. Anyway. just truly amazing wife, Robin. How you doing, Robin?
I'm doing well, my truly amazing husband, and who is also very in his own right.
Well, thank you, ma'am. So, welcome all of our listeners, and it's good to have you with us. Now, tonight, we're going to be having, I don't know if it's a shift in the show topics, but it's going to be kind of a cool show. We had an experience a couple of weekends ago, doing a stay at home virtual cleanse, and it was a cleanse weekend retreat done virtually, and we all stayed home and did some stuff on the internet, and it was just a very wonderful experience. And so it occurred to us that we could share with our listeners a little bit about how to do this yourself, maybe without having as much interaction with others that we had in our virtual retreat. But certainly there's a lot that you can do at home to cleanse body and mind, and which will, of course, you know, do a little bit of good for the soul. So before we get started, I do want to remind everybody that you can find us on Facebook, Ujvala Ayurveda and Yoga Center. Check out the page there. Click like so that we know that people are looking at it. Please, you know, like us. You can follow us on Twitter at Ujvala C. And, of course, go check out the website, UjvalaAYC.com, and that's https://, UjvalaAYC.com. Go check out the website and click on there to become a friend of Ujvala and get on our mailing list so that we can share some of the things that we've got going on. We talk about sending out a regular newsletter. We've not even done that yet. So all the people that have signed up have still... We're not going to harass you. We're not going to bang out an email a day or anything like that. But it will help to give us an opportunity to send you an email periodically, maybe once a week, and just let you know about stuff that's going on. So let's see. I think that was pretty much it. Oh, it's a call-in show, so you can call us at 646-564-9714. ask any questions you have that come up in your mind as the show's going along. Now, Robin, you were about to say something. I think I was on a roll. I apologize.
No, I think I actually wasn't going to say anything, but I can.
Okay. No, I thought I heard you. Like the first syllable of a word, and I was barreling along. So I just wanted to make sure.
No, it's okay.
Okay. So we were talking about the cleanse, and I know you've got a whole lot of information, and you know we did this ourselves at home. Just the two of us for a weekend, about a month or so ago, maybe a little bit longer, doing the mono diet, which you're going to talk a whole lot more about. And so I guess might as well just take it from there and share with everybody the joys of a cleansing with a mono diet. It's actually pretty good food, so.
Okay, that seems to be sort of incongruous. We're telling you that you're doing a cleanse and we're talking about good food. With Ayurveda, they say that at least twice a year, and a good time to do it is at the change of the seasons. So generally from, winter into spring and then summer into fall is always a good time, and around the solstices. The equinoxes, is a good time to do it. And so we just had the fall equinox, right? So that's a great time to do these sorts of things. But it's not too late yet to do it if you want to try it. Now, we went to the virtual retreat that Yoga Veda Institute was running, and I know they'll be running another one. But if you just wanted to get an idea about how to do this at home, so that if you do decide to do one of these virtual cleanses, it's good to have a little bit of like foreknowledge if you're going to do it and have maybe tried it a little bit at home to see, is this stuff I can actually eat before I commit to the, doing this for 3 days or 5 days or whatever. So the mono food that is sort of recommended in Ayurveda is something called khichdi. And I know we've mentioned it before on the show. Khichdi is sort of like the chicken soup of India. It's, if you were sick, your grandmother is going to whip up a batch of khichdi for you to eat because it's very easy to digest. And they can put all kinds of wonderful herbs and spices that are good for you in this khichdi. And khichdi is basically basmati rice, which is a long grain rice. And it's funny because it's kind of square on the ends rather than like the little football-y shaped rice that we're used to. And into the khichdi goes something they call yellow mung beans or yellow mung dal. And it basically is sort of a cousin to the split pea, but it's much more mild in flavor. And it cooks a little bit differently. You don't have to soak it forever before you cook it. So it's a little bit quicker and easier to deal with. And so that's the basic recipe, is you're going to make this and the rice together. And you're going to put some oil in your pan, or put a little oil in your pan if you want to, or dry roast it. Some of the recipes call for dry roasting the spices so that you don't have a lot of oil in the khichdi. But some recipes also call to cook the spices in the ghee before you make it, before you start with putting in the rice and the dal. And ghee is clarified butter, in case you're not familiar with the term of ghee. And you can make it at home, or you can buy it in most Indian groceries sell already pre-made ghee. You can even buy it online. Depending on the recipe, and like chicken soup, every family has its own favorite recipe of khichdi. So khichdi also, strangely enough, is an expression used in India for when something is all mixed up. So we might say here in the States that something's a cluster F.
Bad word. Okay.
Bad word. Or in India, they would say, oh, it's a khichdi. So it's something that's messed up and kind of, you know, uncontrollable because everything goes into a khichdi. It's sort of chaos in a pot, if that's what you want it to be. Or it can be very mild and very bland.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, I mean, the trick is in the spices, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I mean, the rice and the beans, which, I mean, is a complex carbohydrate, isn't it?
Uh-huh.
Okay. So that's going to act in the body like a protein anyway. So it's not like you're going to starve eating this diet. But the trick is in the spices, and that's what you were talking about. Every family has their own recipe.
Their own
it's pretty
blend.
Much
mm-hmm.
their own spice blend that they use just for their khichdi, but they
mm-hmm.
think is the best, of course. And, you know, grandmother's khichdi is better than, you know, somebody else's, so.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Oh, absolutely. It's just, it's that same thing, you know. You can have a chicken soup that's just like your grandma's, or you can go to a restaurant and have chicken soup that they've dolled up and it's not at all like your grandma's, or they make it totally differently. And it's great, still great soup, it's just not your grandma's. So, and khichdi is the same way. Every family has its own particular way of making khichdi and having their own particular spices. Vegetables, you can add vegetables into the khichdi. So for at this time of year, you'd want to add in a lot of seasonal vegetables, which happen to be root vegetables and winter squash right now that are sort of in season. And those are very grounding vegetables, which is good for this time of year because, you know, as the wind comes in the fall, comes very dry, the atmosphere becomes sort of dry and windy and brittle. So what you want to do is you want to make sure in this cleanse at this time of year, you're going to be eating things that are going to bring moisture and grounding and not spacey and airy, you know, sort of grounding vegetables. So root vegetables certainly fit that. So carrots and turnips and potatoes, onions, things that are, you know, like I said, grounding and substantial.
All right.
Garlic.
What about squashes and zucchinis and stuff like that?
Mm-hmm. Well,
okay.
Zucchinis, we're a little bit past zucchini right now, but if you can get them in the supermarket, you know, anything that's very in season and grounded, I would say like butternut squash right now is in season, any kind of the winter squashes, acorn squash, butternut squash, those kinds of vegetables. If you have
like
a late season.
Yeah, sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt. I was going to say we like our butternut squash around here, so.
Yes, we do. As a matter of fact, when we planned our cleanse, one of the things that we would have for breakfast was butternut squash. You know, I would slice the butternut squash in half and put it in a, you know, like a glass baking dish with a little itty bit of water, and then cover the baking dish with tin foil, or if you have a baking dish that has a lid, and put it in there and cook it like 350 for, I don't know, 20 minutes, half an hour, till you stick a fork in it and it goes, slides right in, just like you would cook a regular potato or something. And then when you take that out, you let it cool off a little bit. You just take a spoon and spoon the cooked squash right out of there, and then you can add to the squash whatever you like. If you like maple syrup and a little bit of cinnamon, you know, in the squash, or if you want something more savory, you could add onion, you know, onion powder and garlic powder and maybe some rosemary and you know, whatever other herbs or spices that you liked. And you could add curry powder.
Yeah, for breakfast, I was enjoying it with just cinnamon, nutmeg, ghee, and jaggery, which jaggery is another whole topic for another whole show, probably. But
yeah, and so that's, you know, one of the things. So when you're in this mono diet, you can eat other things. They're very light foods, but they're also very grounding foods. So having that squash for breakfast would be considered a very light thing to eat, very easily digested because it's well cooked, although it has a lot of fiber. it's well cooked and well seasoned. At this time of year, they would like you to use warming spices. And we've all done this, you know, pumpkin pie spice, cinnamon, clove,
nutmeg,
allspice, nutmeg, all of those warming carminatives, as they call them, things that are anti-gas producing and very grounding. Spicy chilies are also in that genre. Ginger, turmeric, cumin, coriander, fennel, nutmeg, all of those, you know, fall into that category. And you could even do some research about what other spices are considered warming carminatives for this time of year.
Okay.
So basically,
or they could call you and ask, or they could email you and ask you for, or call or email, Robin at ujvalaayc.com.
Mm-hmm.
That would work.
Yep, absolutely.
Now go ahead.
Go ahead. I was going to say, basically, the butternut squash is like a canvas at that point, and you can add whatever things you like to it. Some people don't like sweet; they like savory. Whichever way you want to go with it, it's fine, as long as you're sort of saying, you know, you're not adding like a ton of brown sugar and butter to it, because that would be defeating the purpose of the cleanse. But it's still delicious with the maple syrup and cinnamon. Trust me, it's delicious, and it's much lighter and and much better for you. But I'm sorry, Terry.
Or the jaggery,
jaggery
as a sweetener. Jaggery as a sweetener. Is be much better than a big dollop of brown sugar. So,
correct.
Although the big dollop of brown sugar with a big old pat of butter would be good in it. so, I want to return to the topic of the kitchery. Now,
mm-hmm.
Say someone decided that they really wanted to stick to the kitchery, which there's benefits. I know,
mm-hmm.
and you're going to talk about the benefits of the mono diet. There's benefits if you had like a breakfast kitchery. You could do the kitchery with those same kind of warming spices,
mm-hmm.
and do it kind of a kind of the same thing to the kitchery that we're talking about doing to the butternut squash.
Mm-hmm.
So you could have like a breakfast kitchery and then a dinner kitchery, and then
mm-hmm.
you stick to the kitchery throughout the weekend.
Yep, that's true. That's very true. The one thing, though, that I would say is our digestive systems here in the West are not as attuned to eating rice at every meal, and rice can be somewhat binding for some people if their digestive fire is not up to snuff. And part of the reason to do the cleanse is to keep your digestive fire in good shape. So going into this, I have the whole, regimen going into the cleanse of foods you need to eat to make sure that your digestive fire is at its peak for doing the cleanse and that everything gets cleaned out. The reason the cleanse is so important is that if you're, basically from an Ayurvedic standpoint, all disease in the body is related to the fact that your digestion is not working properly. And things like
mm-hmm.
heartburn, constipation, diarrhea, skin rashes, these are all symptoms of early toxic stuff backing up in your body. Urinary tract infections, any kind of inflammation in the body, if you have a little sore arthritic knees or hips or any of this stuff, this is all related to inflammation, and inflammation can be traced back to poor digestion. So this is why doing regular cleanses for, in Ayurveda is considered so important. It's kind of like, changing the oil in your car. You go so many miles, you change the oil in your car. Well, you want to basically do the same thing. What does oil changing in the car do? It flushes out all of the sludgy, disgusting stuff that's in your engine, right? And then you put clean stuff in, and then you change it out again in 3 years. Yeah, the 3 to 5,000 miles, right? So how many miles has our body been going since the last cleanse? And in the West, we don't really do this. There's really no tradition of well, you know, we're going to do a cleanse. Now, a lot of people who came from Europe would take bitters in the spring as a sort of cleanse. But this is like the next step after that. And that would be something you would have to do on a regular basis in order to have it be like a tonifying, you know, constant cleanse. So, and then there are these really super extreme cleanses that I don't know that I would ever recommend anybody unless they are being supervised by a physician. So that's why the mono diet is so important, because you're not starving, you are eating, and your body is taking a rest while you're eating this extremely easy to digest foods. There's a, you know, one of the other things you can do, and I started to talk about this, our bodies aren't used to eating all this rice in the West, and so sometimes people get constipated, which is not what we want during a cleanse. So fiber in the morning for breakfast in the form of like the squash or you know, even like a sweet potato, you know, would be fine, or some oatmeal, or some stewed apples or a baked apple. There are lots of ways to go, but things with a little bit of fiber. Khichdi for lunch, and then at night for dinner, have either a vegetable broth if you're not somebody who eats meat, or a bone broth, very nutritive. And add some of the khichdi into the broth so that you're, you know, using up whatever you might not have eaten earlier in the day. So just add some of the khichdi into the broth for some flavor, and you can add some more vegetables into that broth, some more carrots or onions or whatever it is that you like, some leafy greens even. And one of the other things that I usually recommend for people pre-cleanse is to make sure before they go into cleanse they're eating a lot of leafy greens, like sautéed, wilted leafy greens with their meals, and in a way for preparing for the cleanse. So I think what I'm going to do is I'm going to post recipes on the website for like the week leading up to, and then recipes for the cleanse, and then what to do when you're starting to go back to eating regular food after, because you don't want to, you know, have 3 days of khichdi and broth and all this beautiful, very sattvic, you know, clean food. And then, you know, the Monday after the weekend, you decide you're going to have a meat lover's pizza and, you know, just wreck everything you just cleaned out in one meal, you know? So,
Wait. Also, what's wrong with meat lover's pizza?
Well, you know what? Once in a while, nothing is wrong with meat lover's pizza. But I think after a weekend of khichdi, it would not be the first.
Yeah, I get
meal.
It.
Yeah.
So I get it. I just, you know, I just was not sure I would have picked a meat lover's pizza as the example of bad food to have after this.
I know you like meat lover's pizza every once in a while.
It's my favorite.
I know. Yeah. I wasn't picking on you. Just happened to pop into my mind.
Well, it felt like it was picking on me, but that's okay.
Oh, well, maybe a little.
Yeah.
All right. Anyway, so after the cleanse, you want to get back to eating your normal diet because you can't eat beans and rice forever. But you'd be surprised how effective it can be to take one day a week and have khichdi as your lunch or, you know, for dinner. Also, please remember that in Ayurveda, they want you to eat your main meal of the day in the middle of the day. Your lunch should be your heaviest, largest meal of the day. So if you're going to eat any kind of, like, heavy, oily foods, you're going to do that at lunch because your body's digestive system is at its peak during the noonish hours. And then, you know, dinner should be something lighter. You know, in the summer it might be a salad, and in the winter it might be soup. So that's kind of the best way to live. And it's funny how, you know, here in the West we always make fun of people, you know, little old people who eat their dinner at 4 o'clock. and then they don't eat again until breakfast the next morning. And we're always like, oh, those old people and their early bird specials, if you eat at 4 o'clock in the afternoon. Well, you know, there's something to that. And so Ayurveda, you know, recognizes that. Now, some of these things will be sort of tweaked depending on what your individual dosha is. And we've talked about this before on some of the other shows and how to figure out what your dosha is and how to eat best for your specific dosha. But again, if you have any questions about your dosha, feel free to contact me and I can direct you, you know, send you a quiz and we can talk about, you know, what your dosha is. I'm certainly more than willing to do that with people. And so because it might depend on whether or not you do leafy greens versus, you know, carrots. Instead of, you know, leafy green or sweet potato instead of, I don't know,
white potato.
Oatmeal. Yeah. Well, white potatoes are not considered very beneficial. Let's put it that way. They have their they have their place. You generally want to stick to things with high keratins, high colors, just in general in your diet. Remember my old show, Eat the Rainbow, right? And that is so true. The more colors you have, even in Ayurveda, on your plate, things like beets, sweet potatoes, carrots, you know, red peppers, all of these things that have a high color content, red cabbage instead of white cabbage, all of the things that have colors, blueberries, strawberries, mangoes, you know, things with bright colors are the things that you want to eat, and that's and the beauty of that is that it's very appealing to the eye. So if you make a soup or a salad with all these beautiful colors in it, wow, you want to eat that. If somebody plunks down a salad in front of you and it's just green, it's not as appetizing. It just isn't. It's why we put tomatoes and little bits of red cabbage and carrots in our salads, because those colors say, wow, that's really pretty. I want to eat that. Because you start eating with your eyes. And if your eyes like what they see, then it starts the digestion process in your mouth, right? You start to salivate. That's the beginning of digestion, proper salivation, and all the enzymes that are released in your mouth during that process. So the more appealing something is to the eye, the more it excites those salivary glands and gets them going to try to begin that effective and efficient digestion process. I know that sounds very clinical, doesn't it?
No, it's all
instead
good.
Instead of just saying, hey, yeah, hey, just put down some pretty food and I want to eat it. You know, it's anyway, but that's exactly why. So once we start to eat the food that's on the mono diet, the khichdi, there should be regular bowel movement every morning, at least. Maybe another one later in the day. You're going to want to make sure that you're definitely having, you know, at least one bowel movement a day. If you feel that you're starting to get constipated, make sure you're drinking enough fluids, non-caffeinated beverages. One of the best things to drink, if you're not somebody who can just drink water. I hear this all the time. Water is so boring. I don't want to just drink water. I need something with some flavor. The best thing is some lemon ginger water with a little bit of honey. It's a little bit sweet. It's a little bit tart. The ginger
is
wonderful.
Very good.
You know, yeah, ginger is a wonderful anti-inflammatory. It will, you know, help the digestive fire. It ignites digestive fire. And the lemon is also an anti-inflammatory. And the honey is actually, you know, also good because it helps sort of flush things out of your body. The little bit of sweetness that's in the honey is sort of like a little bit of a laxative, very, 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 very mild. And as all sugar is, if anybody's ever eaten, you know, a whole bunch of anything that's extremely sweet, you know, that's going to run through you because sugar is a little bit of a laxative. So the honey, and you know, honey is an antibacterial. It's just so good for you. And always, always, always use good raw honey. If you don't know a place where you live to buy raw honey, call me. I will give you the phone number from Mountain Apiaries. They're in New York State near me. They will ship to just about anywhere. And I love their honey. We buy their honey by the case, literally, and go through a case like in about 2 or 3 weeks. But anyway, that I digress. But so make sure that you're having raw honey that's never been heat processed and that you should be using. And it's very easy to make the ginger lemon water. You know, you take a couple of fresh lemons, never use that bottled stuff. That stuff is disgusting. And make sure that you, you know, ream out the lemons yourself. Usually for like to do 32 ounces of lemon ginger water, I use one lemon and about a 2-inch piece of ginger. And I just grate the ginger and I pour the warm water, you know, the heated water. It shouldn't be boiling, but it should be warm enough to sort of be having steam rise from it, but not boiling. And then I pour that over the lemon juice and the ginger and I let it steep. Then I let it cool down a little bit afterward until it's still warm enough to get the honey to dissolve, but not so hot that it's steaming anymore. And just stir the honey in. And you can either refrigerate it at that point or just drink it at that sort of slightly warmer than room temperature and just sip it all day long, all day long. It's very pleasant and good for you. And it'll keep you hydrated and it will help you digest all your food. It's a very common digestive in India is to take a slice of fresh ginger with a little bit of rock salt on it and chew it about, you know, 10, 15 minutes before you're about to eat a meal. And they consider that a way of sort of igniting your digestive fires with that ginger with a little bit of salt on it. Anyway, I'm digressing. Yeah.
I was going to ask, with the mono diet, you were talking about, you know, the rice and Western, you know, Western mm-hmm. bellies aren't used to that much mm-hmm. rice. So mm-hmm. in addition to the lots and lots of water and the mildly, laxative effect of honey, mm-hmm. is there a sup or something that you can possibly take along with the fiber just to make sure that things are flowing well for the weekend?
Well, I really think that that's part of the pre-cleanse coming into doing the cleanse. And that's part of why I was saying, you know, eat a lot of green, steamed green vegetables and other fiber coming into the weekend because when you're doing the cleanse, because what you really want to do is you want to sort of pre-clean everything out before we get to the cleanse. There are lots of ways, you know, if you are feeling a little stopped up, to move things along. You know, the ghee, you can take a couple of teaspoons of ghee, or tablespoons even, of ghee in the morning with your breakfast because there's very little fat in the ghee. And our Western bellies are used to the two things in our diet that help move things through our diet. And when you suddenly take them away, your body goes, wait a minute, I need those. That's high fats, especially animal fats, and caffeine. And there's no caffeine on the cleanse. So you know, how common is it for people to get up in the morning and have a couple of cups of coffee and then they suddenly have to go to the bathroom because it's the stimulant in the caffeine. Caffeine stimulates the peristalsis in the gut, the little hairs and the little contractions and stuff that move things through your intestines. Well, your body shouldn't need that. It almost becomes dependent on the stimulation from the caffeine in order to know, okay, now it's time for everything to move. We've gotten our orders from the caffeine. So you want to sort of take that away to make sure your body can function without it. Otherwise, it becomes lazy and dependent on that stimulation. The same thing for high-fat foods. High-fat foods are very common in our diet. And when you suddenly go to something that's not so high-fat, like the khichdi for the weekend and the broth, it will all of a sudden slow everything down because your body's like, I need that oil to grease the works here. That's what I'm used to. And the gallbladder is there going, what's going on? I'm not getting any grease, which is good for it. But when it's really used to it, it can sometimes throw your system out of whack. So one of the things Ayurveda recommends is to take maybe a couple of teaspoons of ghee in the morning. And I mean, you can take up to like two tablespoons really, but you could take a couple of teaspoons in the morning of just straight ghee right off a spoon. And it's just clarified butter. It's not going to hurt you in any way. So And that would sort of help things move along. But that doesn't mean you could just take 2 teaspoons of regular butter. The clarified butter has all the milk solids removed and leaves just the sort of beautiful golden clear liquid. I mean, it's really beautiful to see ghee when you're making it, and how that beautiful golden color that comes to the clarified butter. And the French use it a lot in cooking. And I, you know, it came from India. It came from Ayurveda. So, talking so fast, I'm getting myself out of breath. Wow. So when you are, you know, if you're doing the cleanse and you do feel a little bit like, oh, geez, I'm having, you know, a little bit of being stopped up, I would definitely say to have a very soupy khichdi, you know, put a little bit of the broth in the khichdi, make it sort of wet. Or just go to putting the khichdi in a bowl of broth and having it be more soup-like, like a, you know, you'd have like a rice soup or something like that. And you can do it either way, depending on how you know, stopped up you feel, I guess. But hopefully if you do the pre-cleanse week of eating prior to the actual cleanse, you won't really have that problem, because we will have ignited your natural digestive fires, your Agni. Your body will be, you know, by the time you get to the cleanse, your body will be like a little furnace with for your digestion. This is what you want it to be. You want your digestive fire to be functioning properly so that you can digest all your food, because it's that undigested food. Remember, we talked about this, turns into ama, which is toxin in the body. And when that toxin builds up, it finds its way into your digestive system, causing heartburn. And then, you know, stomach issues, and then it can also, you know, go into your organs, it goes into your bloodstream, it just can affect you wherever you have, you know, like maybe a little genetic weakness in your body. It will opportunistically lodge there and cause a problem, you know. So if you've got all this ama backed up and you are a pitta constitution who is prone to inflammation, it might start out by giving you heartburn, and then it might turn into, you know, a lung issue, because, you know, when you have a lot of acid in your esophagus, it can affect when you're breathing, because you get that into your lungs and, you know, causes pneumonias, or, you know, lung issues. And then if it continues to back up, maybe it goes into your liver or your spleen, you know, and it starts to degrade, and then eventually gets into your bloodstream and starts to cause arthritis or, you know, other things. So that's why when Ayurveda looks at the body, it says everything stems from your digestion. And you got to remember, modern science is really just starting to catch up to that concept that it all happens in the gut, right? In the last 10 years, we've heard nothing, the gut brain, right? And Ayurveda has known this for like 5,000 years or more. So it's hysterical now that, you know, probably 100 years ago, somebody said, oh, well, it all happens in your gut. You know, doctors at that time would have scoffed at that. Well, now we know that they're right, and that we need to pay more attention to what we put into our mouths and what we eat and how we eat, so that we can keep our digestive fires healthy and not overtax our body. When I was a kid, my grandmother always used to say, a moment on the lips, forever on the hips. And I used to hate it when she said that, because I always thought it was like, oh, you're just trying to say if I eat this, I'm going to get fat. But I now, as an adult, looking back at that, I think, you know, yes, that was probably part of why she was saying that, because she was very weight conscious. Because forever on the hips, it's once you eat it, you know, all the food that we eat makes up every cell in our body. So if you're constantly eating, you know, junky processed foods with a lot of weird chemicals in it, that's not a natural food, all that stuff gets into the cells in our body. Every single cell in your body has this little job, this little spark of intelligence that tells it what it's supposed to do. Every cell has a purpose. And when we send this junky food into each one of the individual cells of our body, and our body looks at this and goes, the cell looks at this junk and goes, what the heck am I supposed to do with that? and they say, well, that's garbage, and they send it off to the lymph system, or they send it into the spleen or the gallbladder, and, you know, and say this is garbage, or they send it, you know, to for bile to the spleen, and our body still doesn't really know what to do with it. So sometimes it stores this stuff because it's like, well, maybe I'm going to need this. Maybe I'll keep this. Sometimes it sends it, like I said, to the lymph node system, which is in charge of getting rid of a lot of junk that accumulates in the body. But if you're not an active person, let's say you're somebody who has a desk job like I used to, and you sit like almost 10 hours a day between sitting in the car to drive to work and the 8 hours at work, and then you're back in the car to drive home, and then you get home and maybe you make dinner, and then you sit down in front of the TV, right? So out of your 16 hours that you've been awake during the day, 10 of those hours were probably spent sitting on your butt. Now, how do you clean out your lymph node system? Well,
there's no natural pump for that, so you have to be moving.
Right. There's no natural pump, so you've got to be up and moving. And when the body was designed, it was designed for the lymph system to be activated by walking and bending. Because what did we do? We were hunter-gatherers. We walked a few steps, we picked up something, and we ate it, or we put it in our basket for later. And we walked a few more steps, and we picked up something else. And then we maybe had to walk a far distance for a specific, you know, we wanted to go harvest some salt from the ocean. We were going to go dry salt. We had to walk 3 miles to get there and bend down and get the water out and spread it out and dry it out. And then we were going to walk the 3 miles back to our village or our cave or whatever. So that's what our body is programmed to do. You got to remember that on an evolutionary scale, we've been living in houses with air conditioning and heat for like 10 minutes. Because before that, we were exposed to the elements all day long. We lived in caves. We lived in basically open air huts. Think about the way that people live in the jungle in South America. We lived like that for a very long time.
Yeah,
that's
one of the things we talk about is the fact that we're only about 100 years out of the forest. You know, mm-hmm. we lived on the edge of forests for, you know, the bulk of the history of humanity. So
correct.
It's cities are big cities in the West. I mean, with a few exceptions, like maybe London and Paris, really big cities like that are, you know, 100, 200 years old at most. And mm-hmm. you look at, you know, what has happened to the human body when we have moved out of that connection to the divine, that connection to nature, that connection to our environment, and this misguided idea that we're going to, you know, exercise dominion over nature. Nature's going to win. Nature's going to win by giving us diseases that we didn't know existed until we left the forest. When we quit mm-hmm. eating our natural food and living in our natural habitat, you know, we treat zoo animals. We try to reproduce their natural habitat, but we take us and stick us in cities. And then we're surprised. We're surprised mm-hmm. when the animals thrive and we suffer because we're not living in our natural habitat.
That's
so
very true.
Anything that we can do to return to eating habits that more closely resemble what our bodies are designed to consume and to digest, mm-hmm. the healthier we're going to be.
Right. Okay, so I'm not a vegetarian, although I do try to follow a more plant-based diet. We still eat some meat, basically because I was diagnosed many years ago with anemia. And so for me, you know, making sure that I eat, you know, meat is kind of important for the B vitamins and the iron and the nutrients that you do get from meat. I know you can get some of those from vegetables, and I do my best to get those. But I have found for me personally, and everybody's an individual in the eyes of Ayurveda. For me personally, I do best with eating some meat, even if it's just like bone broth and salmon. You know, so I need some meat. So anyway, so our original diet when we were still living in the forest was primarily vegetarian. And they actually have done study after study, particularly with athletes, like Olympic caliber athletes, taking them to a vegetarian diet, and they've proven that their athletic abilities improve on a vegetarian diet. Their muscle mass grows and improves on a vegetarian diet, which seems counterproductive and counterintuitive. But if you think about this, so think about gorillas and chimpanzees that eat primarily vegetation. Of course, they're getting some protein probably from insects and things that they, you know, eat that are on the leaves that they eat. So you could say that there's some minimal protein in their diet from that source. But primarily, they eat vegetation. And they are some of the strongest per pound animals on Earth. You know, a silverback gorilla, you know, is a formidable opponent. I mean, rip a man's arm right out of his socket without even blinking. It wouldn't even be hard.
Yeah.
And they eat primarily vegetables.
And micro proteins, they call it.
And micro proteins, yeah, bugs. So there's something to think about. So, you know, the concept that we have in the West that, you know, eat your red meat and you'll be strong is actually being disproven.
Well, I don't know about disproven, but certainly can be done in other ways. So,
but that's
where
it came from.
Still not giving up my steak. I'm just not ready.
But that's what we came from. I understand. But that's what we came from. We came from a primarily vegetarian diet. And yes, we have evolved and we have changed, but the physiology of that, and again, on that evolutionary scale, we've been eating cooked meat for about 20 minutes. And we've been eating primarily meat-heavy diet for about 5 minutes on that evolutionary scale. Because for you know, thousands of years, we've been eating this primarily vegetarian diet because meat was so hard to get. Right.
Yeah.
So if you wanted meat, you had to go out and kill it and slaughter it and cut it up and bring it home and then preserve it somehow and then cook it. And then you'd probably have a big glut where you'd eat a bunch of meat and then you wouldn't eat meat again for maybe 3 months. And in between, you'd live on, you know, whatever you had preserved and the vegetables. So, we're getting close to time. But anyway, getting back to the mono diet, this is what we need to do is to cleanse out all this stuff that we eat, all the fats and the chemicals and all that stuff. We need to do it regularly. And the best way to do it is to have this mono diet with Khichdi. It's very gentle. You're not starving. You know, all you have to do is make sure you're hydrated. And it will help you to be more grounded at this time of year going into the winter. And it'll prepare you for being very inactive over the winter, as most of us are because it's cold outside, and help your body to get rid of all the stuff you've accumulated over the last 6 months. And then if you accumulate more over the winter, in the spring we do another cleanse and we get rid of it. I mean, technically, if you wanted to do a cleanse once a month, you could. There's nothing saying you couldn't. So I think that it's a wonderful thing to explore. Go to our website, and I'll get those recipes up here probably in the next couple of days, or you can do some research about Khichdi on your own. But if you have any questions, please feel free to email me, and Terry's about to give the email address, and I'll be more than happy to answer them.
All right. Yes, you can email info@ujvalaayc.com. And that's an email address that both Robin and I check. And we'll make sure that you get your answers to the questions that you have. I did want to take just a couple of minutes. That one of the things that goes along with the kind of retreat that we're talking about and the cleanse that we're talking about, it's not just about the body. The body is in many ways driven by the mind. And if we get a proper amount of rest and meditations, do some meditation time. I'm going to be putting together a couple of videos talking about how to meditate. Some very simple meditation techniques. We're not talking about, a 6-hour chant and that sort of thing. We're going to talk about 5 minutes, 10 minutes, 15 minutes. Preferably get up to about 30 minutes at a time is a good place to be for relaxation, mental health, connecting to the divine by whatever name you call, whatever name you use. Doesn't matter. That connection will have numerous positive benefits, just positive reinforcement, really. Changes in your body driven by just that relaxation. So you want to take some time to look at that. Again, the video will be up in the next few days, well, maybe next couple of weeks. And also there will be some audio guided meditations available that will help you to connect with your body so you can listen to your body's signals a little more. And a couple of samples. I'll throw some stuff in there, so you'll get some interesting meditations. And again, just a simple relaxation and dumping your junk is what I prefer to call it. It's one of my favorite meditations. And we've been using that meditation now. Before Ujvala, we were using that in other places and other ways for probably about 6 years now. This meditation has been going on and has been used by people around the world to release a lot of burdens and the past, and really, really is dump your junk. So look out for that. That will be available on the website very soon as well. So, you want to make sure that you have that peace and relaxation. You're going to be, eating a mono diet. Some people do find it boring. We dress up the khichdi every time we have it. It's a little bit different, but it's still, yes, rice and beans, spicy rice and beans, but it's still rice and beans. And so, with that in mind, it's an amazing experience for the, for your body, and really does reset the system and the digestive fires. But you want to have a little bit of spirituality and a little bit of mind relaxation. Don't plan to do this over a busy weekend. Plan to do this over a weekend when you have time to relax and enjoy the experience. I had actually wanted to get into a little bit of self-care. One of the workshops that we attended was about doing self-massage, and I was hoping that we would have a little bit of time. Maybe we'll do that another episode. But adding something like that, adding self-care, like Robin has talked about Dinacharya in previous shows, adding some of that to your food cleanse will make it an entire experience and not just a boring food, not just a boring diet, but actually make it a special weekend. Set aside time to, for self-massage, for meditation, for relaxation, and, mind, body, and soul. And when you can touch on and improve all three, then everything gets, it's exponential. So don't forget to relax and enjoy yourself and take care of yourself. Maybe a little pampering. Give yourself permission to pamper. It's okay. So with all of that said, we are at 5 minutes away from the top of the hour, and I did want to remind people about going to the website. We talk a lot about Yoga Veda Institute on the show.
Mm-hmm.
And all of the things that we are learning. I am in the midst of some great classes and workshops on the philosophy and the psychology in the Vedas and the ancient ancient books. Compared to the Vedas, comparatively recent, it's only 1500 years old ish, depending on who you ask. The Yoga Sutras. So all of these documents are, such an amazing learning experience, the philosophy and the psychology. Robin is learning all about the nutrition and the treatment of peoples. And all of this is taking place at Yoga Veda Institute, and they've got a free program to introduce you to these concepts. And it's called Sister Science. And it talks about the sciences of yoga and Ayurveda. And if you go to our website, go to ujvalaayc.com/YVI-links, LINKS. Go to that page and you can see there's some links to the different programs. If you just want to get your feet wet and learn a little bit about what we're talking about, check out the Sister Science program. It's totally free. If you're sparked and you say, gosh, I want to do this too, well, then from there you can look at some of the educational programs. If you say, wow, this is really cool, I wish I could make it part of my life, then you can email us and we will help you to make some of these changes in your life. But either way, I think that everyone could get a great deal out of the Sister Science program. So go to ujvalaayc.com/YVI-links. And I'll put that in on the Facebook page as well. But that is on the very front page of the Ujvala AYC website. So if you get there, you'll see the links tab up at the top. So with all of that said, gosh, we've run way out of time. We're going to rush now. Because we promised all of our East Coast listeners that we would try to be finished by 10 o'clock, because in Ayurveda, you should be in bed and asleep by 10, not just going to bed at 10. So we apologize to all of our East Coast listeners who are trying to get to asleep by 10. We thank you for spending that one night a week with us. We're honored that everyone is here tonight, thrilled that we can share this with everyone. It is a labor of love. We just enjoy what we do, and we enjoy sharing it. So thank you all for being with us. Robin, any 30 seconds, final words?
No, just wishing everybody good health and happiness and love. Ujvala means love, so I wish you all love.
All right, fair enough. So I guess there's nothing left but to wish you all a week filled with love and with wonder. Good night, namaste, and blessed be.
Thanks for listening to the Spiritual Unity Radio Network. Join us 7 nights a week for exciting programming covering a variety of expressions of faith. And remember, all manifestations of the divine are equally valid.